Welcome to Pizza Rainbow, episode 23.
23 is a good age.
It's a real good age. It's like you can drink.
Yeah,
you get some experience.
Yeah, and you're not 25 yet and panicking about everything.
And guys, all the guys like you. Like you don't have to have an age limit.
Yeah, like literally.
You can go with the older guys, but you can also go with the younger guys, and nobody looks at you twice.
All right, so do us.
Yeah.
Now. Here we go!
Pizza Rainbow, episode 23. Here we go! What's up, Jen Paulson?
Hey, Amber, how are you?
I'm real good. How are you doing today?
I'm having
today?
A snack.
You are. Trail mix. I like that you put tape on there, like a little label.
Yeah, so I knew it wasn't just regular.
Oh, yeah, because it's different stuff in a different bag.
Yeah, I made it fancy for myself.
How'd you make it?
And no one else. I put dark chocolate bits. They're really good,
ooh,
actually.
Thank you.
These little dark chocolate bits and dry cherries in it.
That's good.
It's a really good combination. I'll make you a little flavor combination. Here, hold
on. That'd be awesome.
Hold out your hand. Don't eat it yet.
Okay.
Okay, so chocolate.
Yeah, because almonds and dark chocolate is like the best snack ever, and it's actually not that bad for you either.
I always do two almonds with this combination.
Okay. I don't usually like dried fruit, but I'm going to give it a whirl because...
Dried cherries are really good.
Okay.
I don't really like dried fruit either, but cherries are okay because they're tart.
Mmm. Mmm. God damn, that's good.
Right? The cherries not all that bad.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Cool.
How's your week been? I'm super excited to podcast today.
Oh, that's good.
Catch up. Talk about shit.
Right?
Yeah.
I've been super busy with work.
Yeah.
We had a guy in town that was doing
stuff.
Yeah,
you had a work dinner. We had to reschedule our podcast for your work dinner.
I got to go to Kincaid's.
Well, that's nice. Did you get to expense it?
Yeah.
Nice.
Pay a dime. But it wasn't that great.
No?
Yeah, it's pretty lame.
Hmm.
The vegetables were really bad.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah. I'll be done chewing in a second.
I was thinking about your other podcast right before I set stuff up. So I'm going to get a couch in here.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm probably, for listeners, we're podcasting via my desk. I'm probably going to move my desk to another part of the room. So then I was like, oh, that trail mix. Throwing off the podcast.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. So then I was thinking we could sit on, the couch and podcast from there, and then maybe we could eat pizza while we're doing it. But then I'm like, no, because nobody likes to hear people chewing on camera unless Jen Paulson and she's eating a donut, and then it's hilarious. But yeah.
The rules are just for me, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's fine. We're done though. I got almonds in my teeth.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Really glad you guys could be here for this experience.
Yeah.
Sharing this with us.
My week has been fine.
Yeah.
It's just been really busy.
Yeah.
Like Sunday, I just made the mistake of drinking all day.
Whoops.
It was a mistake, but it was a good mistake.
Did you go anywhere?
And it was a real bad mistake. No, first I went to Spring Street after improv.
Nice.
And then I went to Grumpy's after that.
Ooh.
But I was going to go there for just a couple minutes and I ended up there.
Yeah.
Late.
I think Grumpy's does that to people.
Grumpy's is a very dangerous place. And then, like,
we're talking about Grumpy's NE or Grumpy Downtown?
Northeast. I'm not really in the downtown.
I have spent some time at the downtown and I've enjoyed my time there, but it's never been a place that I'm like, oh, guys, we got to go to Grumpy's. Like, it's always been a thing where it's like, I'll go there for a tweet up or whatever. So
I'll go there if I'm forced to or if I want to do like Wednesday open mic.
Yeah.
So not very often.
I just feel like, okay, so for everybody who's listening tonight, Jen and I, if I can get her to do it, we're going to go to Vinyl and Vino Night at Grumpy's NE.
Do they really say that Vino? Can I have beer?
You can have beer.
Is it the thing if you bring a record, then you get a free drink?
Yeah, and then bottles of wine are 2-for-1s.
Oh.
Yeah.
I have a headline though. We have to be careful.
Okay.
But I also brought us records.
Okay. You're the best.
Well, yeah, because that's what I thought it was. And I was like, I brought 4 records because it's always good to bring an extra record just in case you run into somebody that you know.
Right. Except that's awesome.
I may have to hide one of them because it's Transformer by Lou Reed and I don't want to forget it there. And I've been known to forget my check card at Grumpy's Northeast.
Yeah. Well, I'll help you out with that stuff.
I also have been known recently to, for a reason I didn't even want to. Wait, I don't think I did give him. I think I may have given a guy my number that I didn't want to give my number to, but some people are just so fucking pushy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was bad.
Ooh.
It was
that's
so
always
bad.
Like that's always a cringe moment. Like, do you want to talk about specifics? Like how he was pushy, or was
I'll talk about how bad this was.
Okay.
Like I went in with my friend to get a drink or close my tab or something.
Right.
And then she wasn't feeling well, so we had to like bring her home immediately.
Okay.
Which is cool.
That's fine.
You know? I just neglected to realize that I'd left my phone outside. So I left my phone on the table.
Right.
With two randos.
Shit.
Yeah. But, so whatever, I brought her home and brought her back, and I was like, fuck, I don't have my phone. My friend Nikki was there, though. Just, sorry, Nikki, you're always there. it's not a bad thing. It's no. The patio's the best.
She's never constant.
Clean it up, it's going to be good. My phone wasn't there. And so she called my phone. He had my phone.
What?
He had my phone. So okay. We brought the phone back.
Right.
God bless him. Nice guy. Nice, fine, nice guy. Whatever.
Right.
But luckily he brought my phone back.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Was he like taking it to be nice so he could bring it to you or?
Yes. Well, okay. He answered the phone and my friend called, which was nice.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
So yeah, I mean, but I don't know. If he fucked with my phone, or if he put a GPS on my phone, or no, I'm just kidding. He really wasn't a bad guy. Like, right. He was just kind of a drunk, sad, lonely guy that, like, was into me. But he was, like, 46 or something, for whatever. I work at a car wash. Is that okay with you?
No.
I'm like, oh, honey. I don't know.
No, it's not.
I know, and he kept, okay. Like, doing the thing where, like, we talk about something, and you'd be like, yeah, and you're, like, going for a hug, and, like, kiss me on the cheek, and... I'm like, I don't have a problem saying no. We right. Had like some sad, like, I mean, I hate to say, but like semi-homeless guy with a dog sitting at our table with us when I first showed up. And he kept like interjecting into our stories. And
oh,
I was
that's
like,
the worst.
But then I had for no problem being like, hey now, I'm trying to kind of have a conversation with him. We'll get back to you.
Yeah, you're good at that. Kara's good at that too. I'm not good at that. I'm trying to get better.
But I don't know why I wasn't like, sorry, not interested.
Yeah.
Maybe because my friend was like talking to like his friend and like, not that I on purpose was like, well, I gotta be nice to this guy.
Right. You
know? But I mean, also, I don't want to be a dick. He's a nice enough guy.
Yeah.
But then when I was like, he like walked out with us when we were leaving. Because like when I got there and realized I didn't have my phone and then realized that that guy had my phone, I didn't want to stay there. I wanted to go home.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I'm like, sorry, I'm fucking out of here. And like, my friends walk with me to the car. He walks with us to my car. And they're just kind of standing a little bit away. And I'm like, hey, bye. You know, I'm just like, oh, God, get me out of this situation. And then he like went in. He was like,
ew.
And I'm like, why am I? I don't know why I was so fucking passive. You know, it was because that last time that I was at Grumpy's too late and too long. That I just, like, found that guy that was so smug, and I was like, you're a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
Like, then I turned into a super bitch, and I, like, went full-on fucking passive opposite on this guy, you know?
Okay.
Why?
I don't know.
I have post-traumatic stress disorder right now. I do not want to... He's a knight. Whatever.
Right.
He called me when I got home, too.
What?
Yeah.
That's too much.
Yeah, well, I was eating leftover White Castle in front of my microwave.
Don't interrupt the White Castle.
Yeah, don't fucking do that.
So never had White Castle. I think it's kind of like the shiesty sales pitch, though, where it's like in the moment, you're like, well, this isn't bad. Okay, like I'll just go along with it and then it'll be over soon. And like, you know, like you're trying to be nice and then you're hoping that, like I think especially with women, we do this a lot. We're like, we're trying to be nice, hoping that like, you'll somehow realize that we're being nice to you because we want you to go away. But there's a particular brand of male that does not get that, or like they look at it as like a flashing green light.
Yeah.
And then after the fact, you feel like almost violated and pissed off that like you tippy-toed out of the comfort zone and like you didn't feel comfortable in the moment. And then afterwards, like you get mad at yourself for being like, why didn't I stand up for myself more?
Yeah.
Like, I feel that way when guys try to talk to me at the bar and I'm not interested. And it's, I become I want to say passive, but it's more of just like total complete avoidance extinction. Like I just pretend like I don't hear you. I don't see you. Like I'm totally immersed in this other thing.
Yeah.
But I have gotten better at it. Like, Kara has given me some teachable moments about the fact that like women get killed and we get raped because we're too fucking nice. Like, we're too concerned with having good manners, which is a societal thing. Like, we're brought up to, like, I have stuff in my report cards from, like, kindergarten of, like, Amber needs to learn how to be nice. And it's like, bitch, no, I don't. Like, I'm always polite, but it's always that thing of, like, we're taught to, like, that it's important as girls that we need to be nice to everybody, even if somebody's mean to us. And I'm like, I don't ever want to teach my niece that. Somebody's being fucking mean to you, you clock them. You know? Because, like, that's the kind of girl who's not going to get assaulted because she's too afraid to tell the guy who's following her to, like, step off.
Oh, yeah.
You know? You're just like, well, I don't want to be mean and, like,
I think if it would have ended up feeling like a dangerous situation, I may have been a little...
Oh, yeah. No, and not, like...
No, I know what you mean,
that, but, like, it is that thing where, like, even in those... seemingly innocuous situations, I think we're so afraid of being mean to somebody or even like hurting their feelings, even though it's not going to have any influence on our life going forward.
Yeah.
But then later, like we look back and you're like, so I guess I shouldn't say we, but like I look back and I get mad because I'm like, so I like spent 15 minutes that I wanted to spend with my friends and I had to spend it on this asshole because he couldn't pick up a hint. Like, yeah. I've gotten out of the mode of doing that where, like, there have been a couple of times, especially in the Northwoods, where I'll be like, dude, I'm with my friends. Like, we're here to be here with each other. We're not here to talk to you.
Yeah.
And then one guy got, like, super fucking pissed, called me the C word and all this other stuff. And I was just like, fine, go away. Like, sorry. Like, we're not here to entertain you. Fuck you.
Yeah.
And if you want us to entertain you, then pay for all of our drinks and give me $50. Because that's my going rate for entertaining somebody for an hour.
Yeah.
Ain't your nanny.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
No, and he was a nice enough guy, but for some reason, like, Monday, I was just, like, fucking, like, ugh.
Yeah.
Because he's like, can I call you tomorrow?
No.
Nope. Like,
oh, that's the worst. When guys want to call you before you, like, before you want them to call you or when you don't want them to call you, you're like, no.
Yeah.
Because then, then it's even more Hulk rage of, like, getting trapped into a phone conversation.
Well, yeah, and my friend is like, just block him. I'm like, well... I don't want to necessarily just block him. I feel like I should be a grown-up and say, hey, I'm not interested, sorry. But I'm like, wait, I don't have to do that either. I don't have to do anything.
Don't have to do anything.
So, but then he did call.
Ooh.
And I didn't answer. Aww. But luckily, he only did it the one day.
Okay.
And I was like, thank you for taking a hint.
Sometimes they get it. Yeah. Like, if they call and you don't call them back, like, hopefully sometimes they get it then.
I'm just afraid. I just don't want to run into him at Grumpy's ever.
Well, hopefully we won't.
But frankly, no, I don't think we will. But if we do, it'd be hilarious because I can't think of like some of them more like a combination of, like to run into him when you're there. Otherwise, my friend, if she's there, might be like, that guy is here. I'd be like, we're going somewhere in South.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I always feel like when I go to Grumpy's, I have to like put on some fake tattoos or dye my hair black. Or I just never feel like I fit in the Grumpy's aesthetic. Like, there's a certain type of, like, aesthetic that it has that I feel like I'm a suburban housewife when I go there.
Sure. I get that. Sometimes I feel the same way. I had to go over there
really?
In my work clothes, like, last week, and I was like,
So I think, like, you have that total, like, cool. Yes. Okay. But, like, you still, like, with your glasses and stuff, too, like, you have that retro, cool, vintage, like, alternative aesthetic, whereas, like, I'm wearing my hot pink cardigan. And I'm
that's
like,
okay.
Hey guys, gonna go
you
crochet
can wear
at Michael's.
One.
Yeah,
I've got I did bring my hooded sweatshirt and vest combination, which will even be nice. More
yes.
Grumpy's Northeast.
That'd be super grumpy.
I need some buttons on it. I don't have any buttons. I used to have so many buttons. And
when
I have
are you gonna
zero
get some
buttons.
You better get some buttons and put some buttons on there.
I know. I'm going to put, like, a patch on the back that says something stupid.
We still need to make some Pizza Rainbow patches.
Yeah, we should
some
do...
some patch.
Like, the... like, I'll make you one, too. Like, get you a denim vest.
Yep.
And then we'll get the fabric.
Mm-hmm.
And then do, like, pizza, one curve on the top banner.
Yeah.
And then rainbow on the bottom one. And then, like, a piece of pizza.
Like, I like it. That'd be fucking awesome.
Be baller.
Yeah. But real good.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
What have you... Okay, you know what? That's
what?
Funny because... I'm sorry. What have you been up to this week? I'm terrible.
Yes, this week. This week has been an adventure in drag queen obsession.
Oh.
Like, I think everybody who knows me pretty well knows that like I'm all or nothing. So like when I get interested in something, like I completely do like a huge deep dive into it.
Okay.
So I was tracking, because like that's how this podcast started in the first place, was like I saw something about Robbie Benson and then I did a deep dive into Robbie Benson. I'm like, dude, we need to have a podcast where we can talk about the shit. So my deep dive happened from listening to the podcast last week, and we were talking about Bailey J from Inside Amy Schumer.
Oh, did you watch a lot of Bailey J?
I didn't. Mm. I was like...
Sorry.
So I happen to be like fascinated with like drag queens and cross-dressing and transgender and stuff like that. Not so much in like a rubbernecking kind of way, but more of just like I just find it really like a fascinating world, especially like drag queen beauty. Like I just, there's something about it that I'm just like, oh my God, you're amazing. So anyway, so I was looking at Bailey J, and then I went on YouTube to see some stuff that she had done, and I came across a video for American Apparel ad girls. And I was like, well, this looks interesting. Because it obviously looked like drag queens who are in an American Apparel ad. So I was like, well, let's check this out. So I watched that, and it had Courtney Act, Alaska 5000, and Willem Bell... Willem Belly.
I know the name.
Yeah.
The name sounds familiar.
Ballet. Willem Belly. Yeah. Anyways, I was pronouncing it correctly earlier today. I know it's not belly, but it's like, yeah, whatever. Who cares? So, and then I watched the behind the scenes video from Courtney Act, has like a whole like YouTube channel or whatever. And that's when I started to get like super into Willem, who's hilarious. She's gorgeous. She's amazing. And it turns out that she did this video series called Willem's Beatdown, where it's kind of like Talk Soup, but instead she does it on YouTube and she does it with YouTube videos, and it's drag queen doing it instead of like Joel McHale. And it's fucking hilarious. Did you watch the greatest hits of Willem's Beatdown?
Mm-mm.
Oh, I put it on your page.
I'm sorry.
I said to do research.
Oh, really?
Yes. Oops. I was like, I texted it to you. I'm like, you need to watch all of this. And then I linked it to you. I either texted or I Facebooked you.
Like Facebook messaged me?
No, like on your page.
Okay.
Anyways, it's a compilation of her best beatdowns, and it's hilarious. Like, I've never laughed so hard. And I was at work on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and literally like the whole day at work, like I was just watching these videos and just like laughing out loud. It was amazing. But so then from there, I want like two videos that she's done where she's been the most hilarious is when she does a beatdown on Gorgeous Gregory, who, as it happens, is now Gorgeous Gigi.
Okay.
She crossed over. So then I found out that Gorgeous Gregory, when he was still Gregory, did this like show called The Avenue, which is supposed to be like the city, but like it's in Toronto, and it is the fakest ass bullshit show.
Oh my God, funny.
I'm going to start recapping it on my blog because like I can't like, okay, so for the first episode, when I like watch stuff, I kind of come through with it from an attitude of like either I really want to like this, so I'm going to willingly like overlook all of its flaws, or I'm going to watch this and I'm going to hate it, but then like I kind of end up liking it. The only exceptions to those rules is like Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Like I just don't watch that show because I don't like it. But anyway, so I was watching The Avenue in the first episode. There were a couple of like interactions or confrontations that happened, and I was like, this is coming off as like real, real fake. Like it's when like somebody thinks that they're an actress, but then they act and you're like, no, you don't got it. Mm-mm. So then, but then it was confirmed in the second episode. And this is what I'm going to link to where, so in the first episode, Gregory mentions that he has a boyfriend, Dan. Dan is my everything. And then in the second episode, he gets a text message from Dan saying, we need to talk. And he gets this text message at brunch. And so it becomes like a big whole thing where he's like, I thought everything was fine. So then right at the beginning of the second episode, it is the most amazing scene of the entire like lifetime of episodes. He gets a call from Dan, even though we don't hear his phone ring. So he takes it out on his deck, and it's basically what it sounds like when you're trying to pretend like you're talking on the phone so that somebody doesn't bother you. It's so fucking fake. And I'm like, we haven't seen this Dan. Like, we really haven't heard anything about him. But he's just like, oh my God, Dan. Like, I can't. Like, I'm alone in my apartment and you're dropping this bomb on me? Like, what am I supposed to do?
Oh my God.
You're gonna have to watch it, but it's the most amazing thing. So yeah, so I got super into that, and then I started watching RuPaul's Drag Race, which I am now obsessed with. I can't believe I didn't watch it before, because like I love drag queens. So you would think that that show would be right up my alley, but I just like kind of dismissed it before.
Maybe you just had other stuff to watch. I had other stuff to watch. So often that you're like, you really would like to watch a show, but you're just like,
ugh. Oh, I got other stuff to do. I think it's because it was so much like Project Runway when it came out, and I'm like, I don't really enjoy Project Runway. So super obsessed with RuPaul's Drag Race. My Spotify is now full of like drag queen, like cover hits, like American Apparel Girls, Chow Down at Chick-fil-A by Willem, Let's Have a Kai Kai by Willem and Rhea Latree. And then there's also a couple of like non-drag queen, but still in the same realm, like Amazing by High Fashion. So pretty much like I have decided to immerse myself in a life and culture of which I will never quite belong, but
I'm okay with it. Why fucking not, right?
Right.
I'm sorry. I totally just saw that you posted that, and I did not even remember. No offense. You. Saturday was, like, a crazy day.
It's fine. Like, once you watch it, honestly, like, you... I don't... Like, I really... I shared it on Twitter, and I had at least, like, 10 people talk to me about it later, about like how they watched it, and then they fell into the black hole that is Willem's Beatdown, because it's so fucking hilarious. It's so hilarious. And I'll share it in the show notes, but yeah. So yeah, I've kind of become obsessed with Willem.
Oh, that's awesome. It's always fun to have a new kind of obsessive thing.
It's so fun. And like the part of it too is that he's done so much fun stuff. Like he was part of the Funnier Die spoof on Downton Abbey called Snore, which is also hilarious. And I'm going to post that on the show notes. And then I posted this on your page today, the Nerdist production called Rambo But Gay video.
Okay.
It's basically like a musical of like if Rambo, it like taking all the gay undertones of Rambo and like really like jazzing it up.
Oh, funny. Yeah, I saw that. And I think you sent it after I went to bed.
Yeah, it was late. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning.
And that's okay. But yeah. I literally in the morning, like I wake up and I'm like, shower, make coffee. Honestly, I
check out Amber's YouTube links on my page.
Seriously, no. Barb makes coffee and I'm on my way.
Nice.
And like my internet, like,
yeah,
on my at work is garbage.
You are gonna love it though.
I know
it's gonna but be
who
a gem.
Is it, which one is it?
It's Julie. I wrote it down. It's Julie Goldman from People's Couch,
and it's the two girls.
Yeah, it's the two girls. It's the one that I love,
the one with the short hair.
Yep.
Yeah, I love her. She's great. Mm-hmm. But that's why I said I could have sworn I'd see her on like a show or something. I'd see her be like acting or just an actor.
And like honestly, the music from Rambo But Gay is absolutely delightful. Like it's like that's the kind of musical that I would go to. Like it's delightful. So yeah, it's been a really fun, flamboyantly amazing, fierce week. Yeah.
Oh, that's super cool. Started adding
all the drag queen slang term into my vernacular. There's something about like, okay, I'm just going to break it down on the podcast right now. Here's my thing about drag queens. And I hope like I'm not using any language that is offensive or anything like this. But the thing about drag queens is that they're exceptionally, interestingly beautiful. But I also think as a woman, it's either like very inspiring or it's very like not reproachful, that's almost too strong of a word, but it's kind of this thing of like these men go through hours to look like beautiful women. Like they use tons and tons and tons of makeup and products and like padding and like all this other stuff to look like a gorgeous woman. And sometimes being myself where like I like literally I'm not like a huge girly girl. Like I literally just learned how to apply a smoky eye like a year ago and fake lashes. It's one of those things where it's like I have all the equipment, but I don't use it. Like I don't take advantage of it the way that I could or should. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's just kind of, and plus like I was telling my friend, Kara and Jeff, or my friends Kara and Jeff this last night, where I'm like, It's kind of my dream to be able to like dress up in amazing costumes and wear a ton of makeup and then just like lip sync and dance to like my favorite songs. I'm like, that would be like an amazing career choice that I would fully enjoy.
Oh, so, yeah.
Yeah. A little bit of envious of that, but yeah.
You could still do that if you wanted.
I know. All respect though, because they have to go through a lot of bullshit to be able to do what they want. But yeah. No, super fun. Love it.
That's awesome.
Gonna step up my makeup game.
Dude.
Yeah, and my hair game.
Nice.
I want to
throw every article of clothing that I have away. I fucking cannot.
Yeah, we talked about this last week.
I can't handle the transition from like winter to spring to straight up summer. Like,
I get nervous about not wearing my cardigans.
I know. I love to layer, man. Yeah,
I do too. My arms aren't as the way that I kind of want them to be. And that's always like, literally my entire life, my arms have always been the thing that I'm like, no, I'm going to cover them up. But I got to get rid of that because it's fucking summer and I'm not going to wear a long sleeve shirt.
Yeah. So. I'm kind of like finally sort of getting okay with like my body.
Yeah.
Like if I'm not necessarily like at a place where I'm like, yeah, but it's like, fuck it. It's my body. And honestly, like 5 years from now, I could look worse.
Yes. That is always the thing when you look back and you're like, why was I so insecure about the way I looked back then? Because, like, I looked amazing.
I know.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that again.
I had an interesting meditation session this week. And it was with the May Cause Miracles book with Gabrielle Bernstein. And she breaks it up into different sections where, like, one section is about your relationships. Another section is about your body. Another section is about, like, different stuff. So I was on the one about the body. And it was a really illuminating chapter and exercise about how your body is, you use it as sort of like a vehicle for being a messenger of love. She says it much more eloquently than I ever could. And I'm turning this into a blog post, but I remember just like sitting down and kind of writing and being like, what if it's not about you? Like, what if it's not about... Like, I need to be happy with my body so, like, I can attract the right kind of person. Like, what if it's more about, like, I have tons of love to give. Somebody else needs that love. So instead, like, staying open to being that person who can give love to other people. And, like, what if my body is the most, like, amazing, attractive thing that they've ever seen? You know what I mean?
Oh, just, yeah.
Like, putting it into kind of that context. Like, instead of being super self-absorbed and, like, unconfident about the way that I look right now, instead, like, kind of switching it and being, like, it's not about, like, who I want to attract or whether or not this guy thinks that my body is good enough for him. Because, like, quite honestly, like, the guys that I'm, like, no, I have to get skinny so that guy thinks I'm cute, like, those guys just don't like me anyways. Like, I can be 123 pounds and they're still not going to like me. So yeah, just like kind of turning it that way. I don't know. It just kind of like changed a lot of my perspective in that way.
Well, that's really good. Yeah. No, I mean, I totally know what you're talking about. But instead of it, usually sometimes it's like, oh, I wish so-and-so liked me or, but doesn't anyone like me? And you're just like, ugh, you have to like yourself before, yeah. You know, that's like the most important thing.
Yeah.
And sometimes it takes 50 fucking years.
Sometimes.
But sometimes not.
You get it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I hope it doesn't take me 50 years.
Well, the thing that I get frustrated with is that, like, you're never done with it. Like, that's the thing about, like, meditation and self-love and that stuff is that, like, I always expect that I'm going to get to a certain point where it's like, oh, cool, like, I got it. Reach nirvana. I don't have to do this anymore. You know?
Yeah. No, yeah.
And it's never that way. Like,
it's ongoing.
I had a very good concept of self-love, like, a year and a half ago. Since then, like, it's been on a downward slope. So it's like, now I got to, like, build back up and, like, climb up that incline again. And that can be very frustrating. But it's also that lesson of, like, happiness is a process. Like, you never get to a point where, like, I'm happy, I'm good, guys. Like, don't got to work at this anymore. Like, it's always this thing of, like, every day you have to wake up and, like, make a choice to create that for yourself again.
Well, and then happiness in terms of just straight up happiness is, like, elusive, really. You have to, like... Yeah. You know, accept what comes to you and like what your values are.
Yeah.
You know, and this just kind of live that life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because otherwise, if you're just always like, why can't I be happy? It's like, happiness is like just a word, you know?
It's an abstract concept. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, because I've been reading the Happiness Trap now for like off and on for, I mean, I kind of stopped reading it but I still carry it around like every day.
Right.
Just in case I want to read it.
Yeah. I do that too, though. Yeah. No, I like the transcendental, whatever.
Transcendental?
Transcendental. Is that? Yeah.
Transcendental.
Welcome to Pronunciation with Amber L. Carter, where we discuss words that she cannot pronounce. Anyways, it's a meditation principle of just repeating to yourself that this is all there is.
Yeah.
Which, like, at first can be incredibly depressing because you're like, wait, this is all there is? But after a while, like, it's incredibly comforting to just, like, look around and be like, nope. Like, this is exactly where I am at this moment. Because we spend so much of our time, like, planning for happiness or being like, when I get to this point, like, then I'll be happy.
Yeah.
Instead of just, like, taking a moment and sitting back and being like, this is all there is. Am I okay with it? Am I not? Like, yeah.
Yeah, you really have to, like, learn to just be in the moment.
Yeah.
And know that, like, even if everything is garbage, it's not garbage forever. You know what I mean?
Right. Exactly.
Because if you keep facilitating that concept that everything sucks and it will suck, and like if you
it
can't,
will suck,
if you,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Our thoughts create our reality.
What? Well, I am rich.
I'm rich, bitch.
Rich, rich, rich.
So, do we want to talk about Met Gala? Because I spent an hour researching Met Gala dresses because you asked me to research that part of the podcast, and I did it. So, do you want to talk about it?
I do. Who was your favorite?
Well, that's going to be tough.
I feel like, honestly, my favorite was Anna Wintour's daughter, Lee Schaefer. She looked so much better than her mom. Anna Wintour's dress was a fucking mess.
I don't How do give you spell a, her name?
B-E-E, and then her last name is S-C-H-A-F-F-E-R.
S-C-H-A... Oh, I got it. Okay.
She looked so good. Anna Wintour looked... I just didn't like that dress. Your, like, haircut can only get you so far when you're doing couture, you know?
Yeah. I don't think I was a fan of that dress.
Oh.
There was... Okay, so here's how I... Like, my overall feelings about the Met Gala. I really enjoyed the tons of red and white mm-hmm. that there was. Because I feel like red is always kind of my favorite color whenever it comes to, like, red carpets and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of, like, really fresh white,
mm-hmm.
which I really enjoyed.
What did you think of Rihanna's dress?
I didn't like it. Rihanna's dress reminded me of when I was at my grandparents' house and decided to play queen and tried to gather my parents for or my grandparents for a rug into a dress. That's what it reminded me of.
Okay.
Yeah.
I loved it. I thought it was fierce. Did you read any of the articles about cultural appropriation at the Met Gala?
I kind of expected it with the theme. Mm-hmm. I think that some people don't quite get the very fine line between culture appropriation and culture appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
Being somebody who is very involved in the Native American community, that can often be like an incredibly divisive topic.
Mm-hmm.
But I think with Met Gala, I think a lot of it was more appreciation. There was some where I'm like, I don't know. Like, maybe
honestly,
not.
It didn't even dawn on me until I read an article that Rihanna's dress was actually made in China by a Chinese designer.
Okay.
And then I was like, I didn't know that. I was like, oh.
How does that work into culture appropriation? Like, how was...
Wasn't... She wasn't being... She wasn't doing cultural appropriation.
Right.
I don't really even know what it means. I mean, I do, but I don't really care. Not that I don't care, but I didn't find any of it offensive.
Right. I think the easiest way to describe cultural appropriation is when, like, you have dumb, stupid hipster girls wearing headdresses at Coachella. Like, it's things where it's like, this is a sacred thing, and you're not honoring the native peoples by, like, wearing this headdress when you don't understand the history and the culture that comes with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, some people argue the same thing about bindis and different things too, but it's more of like, yeah, tasteful honoring or just being like a douchebag and thinking like you're hilarious because you're wearing feathers in your hair and you look like Pocahontas. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. There was, I always feel like Beyonce, J-Lo, and Sarah Jessica Parker and Kim Kardashian are kind of always the ones that, like, bring it.
What, like, did you think of their... I mean, seriously, I felt that they kind of went a little too hooch. I was kind of like, you know what? Seriously? Yeah. I'm tired of it.
I don't disagree with you. I think Beyonce's body was dusted in that, like, it was amazing. And she obviously has been working on it before the Met Gala. But, and like, the dress, I don't know. It kind of reminded me of like J-Lo's moment at the Grammys with the Versace dress, the green Versace, where like it kind of like crossed over the edge, but I appreciate like what it was doing. Like it was a beautiful dress.
Yeah.
But I kind of
think it wasn't.
Yeah. But I also kind of sometimes wonder when someone's just going to show up naked on the red carpet with a couple Swarovski crystals glued onto their boobs and snatch and call it a day.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was can't even say it was tasteful, but you know, I think Beyonce out Kim Kardashian. But it's still Beyonce. She's like way cooler.
Yeah. I feel like Beyonce's kind of created a reputation though of kind of doing like the body thing at the Met Gala. Like she's done that the past couple years where like it's been like strategically placed fabric over her lady bits. I liked Kim's dress this year. Like I actually appreciated what she did. J-Lo's, I was kind of bored with it. I feel like either you go like super edgy with that stuff or you just are kind of like, I don't know.
I was just bored with it because it's just like, I've seen it before. Like there's just nothing that I was like, whoa. I mean, yes. I fucking thought Rihanna's shit was fierce and I liked it, but that's just me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, as for like J-Lo and Kim Kardashian and Beyonce, and I fucking usually am like, whatever Beyonce does is great.
Right.
But I was just like, eh.
See, and I think that's interesting because I think a lot of people feel that way where like you look at a dress like that and like the shock value just isn't there anymore. It's almost like I think I would be more shocked if she was like covered up from like Adam's apple to the tip of her toes.
Yeah.
You know, I'd be like, whoa, she's really like going edgy.
Yeah. And or if Diane Kruger didn't wear pants.
Oh my God, I love Diane Kruger's outfit.
I did too.
Yeah, I thought it was so fucking like, I loved the white. I loved the silhouette of it. I love that the pants were like cigarette pants, which was like a callback to kind of like the Asian, like sensibility. But the top was really cool too. Like the top could stand alone as a dress.
Oh yeah.
Like it was short, like it was long enough where like it had that dress silhouette, but it was short enough where like it totally went. Like,
yeah.
I loved it.
I was really a fan of it, honestly. Dakota Johnson, I don't understand.
I didn't like it.
You can't bend down at all.
No.
I need some bending room, but that's just me.
Yeah. I was really kind of pissed at Prada because I did not like any of their fucking dresses at the Met Gala. And then like Olivia Wilde and Emily Blunt, who usually like have gorgeous, gorgeous style choices, like got fucking ruined on the red carpet because they were in Prada. It was like, Prada, these are fucking ugly. I didn't like them. I hated them.
Yeah, I really didn't like Olivia Wilde's at all. Wasn't it pink?
It was like a weird... Well, yeah, I don't know. It was either like pale blue or pastel pink.
There was this... I just remember something about it just didn't go with her entire head.
Yeah, because didn't she have like weird hair too?
Are you something? One of these Wi-Fi networks?
Andrew.
Okay. Wasn't sure. So in this way...
You can do the guests too.
Well, I want to see. Yeah.
Well, here, we'll go back to this.
No, I just want to remember Olivia Wilde's dress.
I feel like, okay.
What's the password? You don't have to tell me.
On the thing. You can look at it in here. Okay.
Are we still recording?
Yeah. No, cool. We're back to.
Okay, awesome.
Okay.
I think all the Jenners were failures, honestly.
See, I actually liked hers. Like, I liked this. I liked the color. I liked the silhouette. I fucking hated this. I thought Alexa Chung's dress. Like, I don't appreciate Alexa Chung. Like, okay. I don't get it. Like, it's not because, like, I don't understand Edge. Like, I'm not, like, a 60-year-old housewife who's like, Lady Gaga's weird. Like, I just don't think it's... I don't know. Like,
I didn't like Lady Gaga's eyebrows. I think Lady Gaga's eyebrows ruined her entire look.
I actually didn't notice her eyebrows. I actually kind of appreciated her look this year. I thought it was like kind of like, I liked the historical aspect of it.
I loved what she was wearing, but I just feel like her face threw it off.
See, and like, I feel the same way about Kate Hudson where I love the dress, but her fucking like styling is gross.
Yeah.
And like, there were a couple like that where like Kate Holmes, Zach Posen dress, I thought was really great. I didn't feel like it really fit into the theme, but like that fucking like hair with like the bob and the bangs. I was just like, dude, like you just ruined it.
Yeah.
I don't know. And Lord, I liked her. I like the color of the dress, but I wanted her to do something with her hair. When she leaves her hair down, it tends to overpower her outfit.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's the Met Gala, for God's sakes. Put your fucking hair up.
I don't like when people totally pull their hair back. I am not a fan of that look at all. Mostly because it doesn't work on me, you know?
But I think it depends on the dress, though, too.
True.
Like, I think like you have to like create a look. Like, Dylan Lauren's dress, I thought was super fun, super edgy. And she always wears her hair down, like it's kind of a trademark, but it looks done and it's kind of like styled away from her face too, that it doesn't overpower everything.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't know. I had some thoughts about it where it was just like, I really appreciated, I don't know. Okay. Here's my thing about the Met Gala. It is probably more, it's more style forward than the Oscars or any of the other award shows. It's also the one place where it's totally okay for you to take style risks.
And it's also where a lot of people are going to fucking nosedive into failure.
Yes. Like, it's a fine line to walk. But I also feel like flipping through all the pictures, I found myself really bored.
Yeah.
Like even ones that I was like, I don't like it. Like, I was bored with how much I didn't like it.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Like, I feel like it's one of those things, like, where, again, like, going back to Beyonce, like, there's some people who are so predictable that I'm like, for you to, like, be punk rock or edgy, like, you'd have to, like, take it in the other direction of, like, being super, like, Miley Cyrus.
Yeah.
I would fucking blow if she showed up in, like, a huge hoop skirt and, like, totally covered up. Like, that would be amazing. Yeah. But I'm so used to her being, like, I don't know, cutouts and all that other bullshit. So, I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's like, I saw something on the list that you made, and I was like, yeah. Oh, shit. Katy Perry, I fucking hate Jeremy Scott. I'm sorry. And her hair, what did she do?
I actually didn't mind the dress. I thought it was fitting for the Met Gala. Her fucking hair ruined it. Yeah. She's one of those people, though, that, like, it's either like everything is perfect, everything goes well together, or it's like
she straight up
it
mess
with her styling. Yeah. Like her styling makes or breaks it all the time.
Yeah. And I really didn't think Madonna should have been wearing Jeremy Scott either. Ugh.
I didn't mind Madonna's dress. I thought it was like sexy and edgy. Rita Ora and Tom Ford like actually made me angry. I was just like, dude, like you look broke. Like you need to. It was just like, it looked like a cheek soap fabric. And then she has that like platinum blonde hair that doesn't even look good. Like it looks like a bad dye job.
Yeah.
I don't know. She bugs me. So yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Gigi Hadid looked amazing.
She's so great.
She's so hot right now.
Dude.
Hansel. She's so hot right now.
It's crazy though. Like honestly, she's been on the scene for what? Like 2 years. And like every single look that she wears on the red carpet is absolutely flawless.
Yeah. Do you follow Yolanda on Instagram?
I don't think so.
Sometimes she'll post like pictures of her kids when they were little.
That's pretty cute.
And I mean, seriously, Gigi Hadid has been cute her whole life.
Yeah, I mean,
fuck,
they got
you.
Good jeans. I really like Zendaya's look. I thought it was super interesting and different. I love the silhouette. Faustino Pugliese.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I fucking cool. loved Kate Beckinsale and Diana.
Dude, she's like my style spirit animal. Like, even though I didn't love the color of her dress, like, she always looks amazing.
That was gold, right?
Yeah,
I loved it. I thought it was amazing. It had good shape,
mm-hmm.
like, wasn't too much, and it didn't rely on, like, accentuating just,
right.
like...
She never overdoes it. It's always just, like, simple and perfect.
It's just got... I mean, you got a balance. This is such a great balance.
Yeah. Carey Mulligan and Balenciaga, I love the silhouette of it. I thought that would be like a perfect dress for somebody who's pregnant to wear. But her hair and her makeup styling reminded me of like 60s vampire gothic mansion in the woods or something.
I don't think I remember seeing her, but I was totally underwhelmed by Jennifer Lawrence. That dress was boring.
I didn't like that dress at all.
I was brokenhearted because I love her.
I feel disappointed by that. Yeah, like you feel personally disappointed when she shows up and doesn't look
good. She ruined my fucking week.
Grimes, like, I made a show note where I'm just like, there's a difference between edgy and interesting and looking fucking busted ugly. Like, that dress.
I must have been looking. I don't think I saw, like, enough. You saw way more pictures than me.
Yeah, I took a lot of notes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, it was good. I liked it. I thought it was a lot more interesting than last year. FKA Twigs, I think she's coming up in the style world. I really wanted to like her dress. It's not my personal taste, but I really did like the intersection. Christopher Kane designed it between, like, it looked like actual art.
Yeah.
But, like, integrated into a dress design. And well, I really like that.
And it was really her. It didn't...
Yes.
It wasn't anyone else but her.
She's a fucking goddess. I love her.
Yeah. Selena Gomez. I just didn't get it.
It wasn't bad. I love Selena Gomez. Yeah, I love that dress. I don't like her. I don't tend to like her style choices. But I really loved... I really loved, like, how fresh and white that Vera Wang dress was. It had interesting architecture.
Yeah.
And then it was just, like... And she had, like, a flower headdress that I thought was an interesting choice, but it totally worked. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It didn't totally work for me, but I like Selena Gomez. I think she's funny. Like, she's got... She's, like, a kid that's got, like, a husky voice. And she's got really good comedic timing.
Yeah. Hailey Baldwin in fucking Topshop. I liked the freshness of the dress. It had, like, a hint of 60s oriental vibe. The shoes fucking broke it. They look like the kind of shoes that I ordered from Victoria's Secret for my prom in junior year of high school. And I was a little bit... At first, I was confused. And then when SJP showed up in H&M, I was like, okay. But at first, I was like, I didn't know if Topshop was, like, a deliberate designer choice or if she was trying to do, like, the Sharon Stones Gap t-shirt at the Oscars kind of thing.
Well, yeah, where it was, like, absolutely promotional.
Yeah.
And they did that. They did that at the last, Kendall Jenner was wearing Topshop last year.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And there was another Topshop dress, too, that I was like, well, yawn. I didn't
care. Did you see Vanessa Hudgens in fucking H&M?
I didn't, but I know SJP wore H&M.
The one that Vanessa Hudgens was wearing looked like a shitty fucking prom dress.
That sucks. Yes. No, like, that was another thing where, like, if I look at
David's
dresses...
David's Bridal. Bridesmaid's dress.
There was a couple dresses that I noticed had the silhouette that you hated, too. And I'm like, Jen hates that dress. But yeah, like, that was another thing. Like, I was bored or it would look like something that I would wear to my prom.
And I just remember with Sarah Jessica Parker, when I saw her in the picture with the hat, I was like, girl, you've passed your being able to wear that hat phase. Yeah. Like, I was just like, nope, too much. You're not on Sex and the City anymore. You're not Carrie Bradshaw. Just be yourself. Take that fucking hat off. It doesn't make sense. It just didn't work.
I didn't like the hat. No, I didn't. And, like, it was one of those moments where I'm like, I want to like this, but I don't like it.
I don't think she fucking liked it.
I don't think she did either.
The look on her face, she did not. She just looked unhappy.
Yeah. Tabitha Simmons and Dolce & Gabbana reminded me of that B-52's video, Run If You Want To. Or Roam If You Want To. You know when they do, like, those, like, old documentary clips from, like, Thailand and Indonesia? Like, that's what that dress reminded me of.
I don't remember that dress.
If it reminds me of a B-52 video, you're not doing something right.
Or you're doing something totally right.
It depends on where you are.
Love Shack.
Yeah. I don't know. We can discuss that later.
Fucking out of here.
Yeah.
I thought Jennifer Connelly looked pretty good, but I know what you're talking about. And you wanted, like... In terms of, I'm reading Amber's list right now.
Yeah.
Because I'm cheap and dumb.
I wanted to hate it, but then, like, I strangely liked it. But also, like, Dolce & Gabbana, I have a moral issue with them anyway. Yeah. So I'm kind of like,
And also, like, it was a nice dress.
Mm-hmm.
But there was something about her face that was throwing it off. She's very severe.
Usually there is something, like, when she won the Oscar, like, a handful of years ago, like, she wore that beige dress. And then the styling was so, like, neutral and beige. Like, she looked washed out.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she is one of those people that, like, I think she has good fashion choices, but then her styling, like, is something to be desired.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sienna Miller in fucking Tycoon looked like I tried to put on my mom's ill-fitting pantsuit from Filene's basement and then try to make it edgy by not wearing a bra.
Okay.
Like, that was one of the outfits that made me angry, where I'm like, Sienna Miller, I expect more from you.
I liked it at first, but I didn't like her hair.
I didn't like anything about it. I was like, what did you do?
Filene's basement.
Seriously. It was ill-fitting, too. Like, the jacket didn't even, like,
whatever.
It wasn't even, like, shaped correctly.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No, lots of... Kristen Wiig in Prabal Gurung. I think that's how you pronounce it. Fucking love. That yellow color is fucking hard to pull off.
I just think that her face didn't pull it off.
Oh, see, I liked it. And Mary
Kate was busted.
Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen give me nightmares. Like, number one, go to a fucking tailor and get fitted. You're too fucking petite to swim in the shit that you were swimming in. And number two, like, you guys are fucking creepy looking. Like, something's happening to their face. And I think it's like their deal with the devil that's causing their face to mutate.
Okay.
Yeah.
I could see that.
No, I don't like it. And they didn't do. Okay. I get irritated when you're showing up to something like the Met Gala and you're not even making an effort. Like, show some respect for the institution that you're at. Like, to show up in a messy, like, half top knot when you're Mary-Kate, like, that to me, I'm just like, I want to punch you in the face. Like, you're not above this bullshit. Like, fucking brush your hair.
She's like, I did. Someone styled that.
2 days. I don't like that. Lizzie Kaplan and Donna Karen at Tulare looked amazing.
I think she looked really good. I think she, like, totally brought it.
Yeah. Elizabeth Banks. Michael Kors is one of my favorite designers. Like, Michael Kors and Ralph Lauren. I was going to say Lauren, and you're not supposed to say Lauren. Yeah. Like, I always love what they do. And that blue color on Elizabeth Banks is amazing.
That was really nice. Those are definitely not my top two favorite designers. No. But that's okay.
I'm like, yeah. And I go for the more, like, simplistic. Like, Reese Witherspoon, I thought, looked really good. I feel like we've seen that look from her before. But
I could see her wearing it to the Golden Globes, but not to the... I stole that, actually. But I could see her wearing it to, like, the Golden Globes, but yeah. You shouldn't wear it to the Met Gala.
Yeah, I felt like there should have been more.
Yeah, Tom and Lorenzo said that on their website earlier, and I just accidentally started saying it out loud.
It's okay. Fucking Tory Burch in my grandmother's couch material. And then do something with that hair, girl.
Well, especially if you're a designer.
Seriously.
She could have worn the dress. Like, I love the dress she did for Diana Agron, actually.
I do, too.
But, like, I don't know. I find Tory Burch kind of generally unlikable.
I think she's supremely unlikable, actually.
Yeah. I'm not sure why.
Yeah.
I just don't like her.
I don't like her either. She seems like a cold, snotty Adina bitch.
Okay.
Which people from Adina are going to hate me for that. But yeah, people know what I mean. Like, a cold, snotty housewife who doesn't have any fucking empathy or, like, understanding for anybody else. Who's, like, rude to the Starbucks barista. Yeah.
Offended by Lisa Bonet?
That fucking dress. Again, put some goddamn effort into it. Jamie King and Jason Wu, I loved it. Loved it.
I need to see. Show me what Lisa Bonet looked like.
Okay. It was just, like, oversized. It was... Ugh.
I love Sophie Turner so much.
Okay, say something wrong.
Are you watching Lord of the Rings? Same diff. Are you watching Game of Thrones? Are you caught up?
Yes! I am. I'm glad that you brought that up.
I was so upset because I went downstairs at my house and I'm like, oh, I finally have some time to sit on the couch and do nothing, but not much. But and I was like, yeah, new episode. And there wasn't a new episode this week.
There wasn't? Oh, that's what I thought. I was like, where's the new one?
No, I was so bummed.
I don't like what's going on here with Lisa Bonet.
It's offensive?
I'm not
truly offensive.
I'm not, like, offended, but I'm just, like, offended by her bad taste.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's just a lot.
Yeah.
She's clearly a nice figure. Are they back together? Just kidding. She's married to Jason Momoa.
Yeah.
The guy that played...
I do like her with Lenny Kravitz, though.
Yeah, well, that's...
I feel like that's one of those, like... I don't know.
You want them to get back together?
They'll always love each other.
She's married to the guy from Game of Thrones that was married to Khaleesi.
Yeah.
I don't remember the name of that character anymore. He was on Drunk History.
For Sun and Stars.
So good.
Was he really? God, I gotta catch up on Drunk History.
It's on Amazon Prime if you have it.
Going back to Game of Thrones. So I'm going to eat my words from the last podcast. And I think I wrote this on my Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to eat my words about... being bored with Game of Thrones and not really, like, getting into it. So, but the reason is that I think it was the second episode, my all-time favorite character in the entire series comes back in a way that he does not come back in the books. And so I now eat my words about every, like, departure from the books that the writers make. Because that guy, like, he's fucking amazing.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. But you're okay with the fact that they're changing his storyline?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Because I feel like in the books, that's who I wanted to come back anyways. It's Jaqen?
Is he the guy that gives the coin to Arya?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm like sexually obsessed with him. So yeah, so in the books, when she makes her way to Braavos, I was actually hoping that he would be at the Temple of the Black and White Door.
Okay.
But he wasn't. So then when the book ended without her running into him again, I was like, that's the thing where I understand why people are annoyed with George R. R. Martin, where it's just like, you're not giving us what we want. And I know that like, it's your prerogative because you're the author, but like when you draw the shit out and then we have to wait like 10 years for the next book, like people get irritated about that. So yeah. So I'm super, super fucking happy that they brought him back in the series.
Nice.
I was a little disappointed that it wasn't in the last episode though.
But I wonder if George R. R. Martin is writing it and he's like, all right, he's back, but just start pulling into that or something.
I hope so. He's like the best character in the whole series. Just kidding. He's not, but he's like my favorite. Yeah. And Arya, I like her. I enjoy her. I'm really enjoying the storyline of, what's her face? Starts with an S.
Sansa?
Yes. I'm really starting to enjoy her storyline.
I'm really hoping that fucking psychopath is actually good to her. Don't even ruin it. Tell me later when I ask you, but don't tell me now.
Okay. All I will say is that I think the way that it works out in the books is bleak, but what people are hoping is that that is another departure that actually brings Sansa's character full circle.
Okay.
So,
Bolton? What's his fucking
Roose?
Name?
Is it Roose Bolton or whatever, is that the dad?
I fucking hate both of them.
Yeah, the thick-lipped, torturous.
He's so creepy.
So fucking creepy. But like mesmerizing that way too.
Yeah, if he was not going to be nice to her, I could be like, I'm totally okay with you being fucking psychotic.
Yeah.
If you're nice to her.
I really liked the new Stannis Brantheron or whatever, that scene with his daughter.
Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah, because before, like, and I don't think I'm alone with this, but so I mentioned that I tend to skip over all the wall stuff because I just don't give a shit. And also the Stannis stuff. Cause again, like that's not a part of the book that I was interested in anyways.
Well, honestly, at the end of the day, not a compelling fucking character.
Right. But like now with that scene with his daughter, I even read an article where like everybody now likes Stannis and I'm like, I agree. Like seeing that part of his humanity is really interesting. And plus like I just bawled cause I was just like, she's so sweet and she's so cute.
She's a good kid too.
Yeah. She's awesome.
She taught that guy how to read.
You know, I do. I'm excited about the sand snakes stuff because I liked that in the book.
The sand snakes?
Yeah.
What's that?
When what's his face goes to Dorne? It's the sand snakes. It's the ladies, the royal ladies in Dorne.
Maybe I don't remember. The
chicks. You watched the last episode?
Apparently, I didn't. Maybe I didn't.
It's the ladies in like the country that's like supposed to be like Middle Eastern themed.
So Jamie, three ladies?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sand snakes.
Okay, I just didn't know that's what their names were.
God damn it.
Fuck you, Amber.
Anyways, I'm interested to see that. There's some good acting going on there. So, yeah. What about you? What do you think?
Opinions. I'm not bored, but I'm just like, I just watch that show and I'm just like, okay.
Yeah.
You're that's like, good. All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Marjorie getting a little mean to Cersei. That's kind of fun. It's kind of fun watching them be mean to each other.
Yeah. I feel bad for Cersei though.
Oh, that's too bad.
I know.
That's okay.
I don't know. Like, Cersei obviously is not a sympathetic character, but she is sympathetic in the way that, like, her thirst for power is definitely, like, a feminist angle in the book.
Yeah.
And seeing her continually get thwarted by the men in her family and then kind of override that has been satisfying or gratifying.
Yeah.
But then now to see it being thwarted by this younger woman is also something that I'm like, that's complicated. Like, that's,
Yeah. I mean, I'll never feel totally bad.
No, and I don't think I don't think we're meant to ever feel totally bad for Cersei, but I don't know. Yeah, there is a couple moments when I'm like, oh, Cersei's trying to be nice to you, so maybe you should just back off. Mm. Just like this one moment. Just like, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That'll be interesting.
I'm nervous about the whole Sparrow shit, though. Just knowing what happens in the books.
Oh.
It ain't never good when you give power to religious fanatics. Never works out the way you think it's gonna.
That's what I've heard and seen and read and watched on the news and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. You know how that goes.
No bueno.
Current events.
Yeah. Did you watch this week's Amy Schumer?
I did not. I missed it, but I did see some amazing articles about the 12 Angry Men spoof, which I think is amazing.
It was really good.
Yeah.
But also, I feel like it's getting like a little too reflexive. Like, how do you mean? All right, we know you're Amy Schumer and you're a woman and you're not pretty enough or not hot enough for TV, but guess what? Yeah. I'm not saying this and like, it's just another way to think about it.
Right.
Because I fucking love that show.
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying. I think it's really, I really like the way that she brings up like sexist issues like that, but in a really entertaining, but also like real way. Yeah. But I kind of get what you're saying though too, where I'm just like, yeah, you actually are really pretty and you're a size six. So
yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know.
Well, and it's like, granted, you know, it is called Inside Amy Schumer, so it can be about you. But some, you know, sometimes I just, there's like certain bits that she does where I'm like, come on. I'm not going to feel sorry for you that, you know, you're not hot enough.
Or that you have your own show and people don't think you should.
Yeah.
Bitch, you got your own show. Be happy. No, yeah. But no, I get that perspective. I don't.
Really funny stuff, though. So at the end of the day, it doesn't even matter.
She totally fucking deserves her own show. Yeah. No, I love, like, she's one of those people where I think everything she does is great. But I do understand that perspective. I get it.
I want to wholeheartedly, wholeheartedly apologize to you for fucking with these almonds.
Thank you. Actually, I need to apologize to the listeners, not to me. Give a shit.
Yum. Two almonds. Ha, ha, ha.
So this old dog learned some new tricks when it comes to boys.
She admitted she's a bitch. What happened? What happened?
I asked a guy to hang out.
The one that you're being kind of stubborn about asking to hang out because he wasn't asking you out?
Yep.
Cool. I'm happy about that.
I did. Yeah, and then I kind of figured out that another one was kind of that guy where, like, it's not quite to, like, booty call territory, but it is that thing where, like, he'll be out, and he'll be like, you should come out.
Okay.
And I'll be like, no, I'm not going to come out. Like, plan ahead.
He would so booty call you, but he doesn't have, like...
But we're not hooking up yet. Yeah. So, like, it's more of, like, booty call hangout. You know what I mean? Where it's like, oh, I'm out. Like, you should come here. And I'm like, no. Like, I got plans. I'm doing shit.
Come on, play that. Come or come get me.
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah. But anyways, with this other one, I'm just like, you know, like the whole thing is that I don't know what I think yet. And I won't know until I actually get to know that person better. So I'm like, in order for me to do that, why don't I just be like open to shit and just be like, yeah, like let's hang out. Because it doesn't have to mean anything. It probably will. But he responded positively to my request. But
good. Did you make plans yet?
We haven't. Mm-mm. He's out of town, so it's that kind of stuff. So yeah, I don't know.
That's cool.
Let's see what happens.
Oh, that's fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I actually might, like, become a sexual being again. Like,
well, like, knock on wood. Don't talk too soon.
I was talking to Kara and Chelsea about it last night, and it's just this thing of, like, when I have a dry spell, like, it's a really fucking long dry spell. But Kara also called me out a little bit where she's like, well, it's not like you've been actively trying to end your dry spell. And I'm like, no, you're right. I haven't. But it is that thing of, like, I just get in those, like, those things where, like, I just don't feel it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, and like right now I have like a ton of different projects that are all like in flux where like I'm right on the precipice of like launching a bunch of shit like all at the same time. So I'm super busy with that stuff and I'm focused on that. And it works into like the body stuff too, where it's like I have all this stuff that's like in progress. And once it's like done and finished and complete, like then I feel like I can give my attention to this and I feel like more excited about my life. But at the same time, it's kind of that thing too, where it's like I'm never going to be, it's like writing a book. Like you're never going to be fully ready to take that leap.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And like that can go for everything. So it's just like, why don't I just like keep myself open to having new experiences and like doing different things. And it is that thing too, where it's like, if you want a different result, you need to do different things.
And well, yeah. And if you're into someone, just, you don't have to wait for them to ask you.
Yeah. I would like it. I would appreciate it if they would, but
I don't want to put myself out there.
I don't. Well, and that was another thing. Like, that was another meditational thing that I read up from May Cause Miracles that was really interesting, of like our ego convinces us to protect ourselves.
Yeah.
And we protect ourselves by shutting other people out or getting really defensive, like putting up defensive walls and mechanisms and stuff like that. And instead, like, what we should be doing is like keeping ourselves open to love and loving experiences and like being a messenger of love to other people. It sounds really woo-woo, but like when you read it from Gabrielle Bernstein, it's just like, yeah, no, that makes total sense. Like, the reason why I become crazy in relationships is because like we're trying to defend ourselves and like create self-preservation and like control how we feel. And mm-hmm. It's like, instead, like if you just come to it from a place of like love and constant forgiveness for both yourself and that other person, like then you are able to experience more of those good things.
Yeah.
So from there, like literally I read that and then was like, okay, like, hey, you want to hang out? Because I'm just like, no, like throughout my whole entire like romantic life, I have done the thing where I'm like, he can ask me out. And the reason why I do that is not only because it's simple like evolution that like guys like challenges and things like that, but it's also a self-protection thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to kind of sit back and be like, what do I have to lose? Like, if he doesn't want to hang out, big fucking deal. Or like, we go have coffee and either we like each other or we don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, yeah. I'm growing up, you guys. I'm really learning.
Proud. That's amazing.
Yeah. We'll see.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Did you watch New Girl this week?
I didn't. See, I don't watch much TV anymore.
That's okay.
No.
I watched it and it seemed like it might have been a season finale. But I don't know. It seems too early.
Yeah.
Like, tie things up in a certain way, and you're just like, wait, is this... Don't fucking do this to me in May.
Yeah.
I'm not ready, but May is actually when shows start having finales.
Yeah, because it's the summer season.
Tell me.
Dude, Bachelor's coming on again pretty soon.
Dude,
or the Bachelorette.
Mad Men only has 2 episodes left.
What did you think of the last episode? Did you watch it?
Yes. At the end of it, I was like, oh, okay. But then I started reading blogs about it, and mm-hmm. I was like, wait... You mean I may never see Don Draper again?
Or Joan?
Again?
I know. Or Peggy?
Again? Like, seriously?
Yeah.
They're not going to do that to me with 2 episodes left. I'll fucking kill all of
Matt
them.
Matt Weiner.
Yeah.
I do not want to see Joan go out like that.
No. I want to see her, like, happy.
I know.
That was a god. I fucking wanted to beat the shit out of that guy.
I know.
Fucking.
You don't fucking talk to Joan Holloway that way.
Mean old dudes.
Put you in the face. I
hate mean old dudes. They're the worst.
Yeah, I gotta catch up on those. I've been reading Todd O'Dowd's The Idiot Box Recaps, and I feel like those have been very fulfilling because okay. I've been missing the past couple Mad Men episodes. But I feel like when I read his recaps, like I don't really need to watch the show. Like, he has really good commentary on it. I mean, I know it's not the same, but yeah, it's been helpful when I've had to miss it.
Still watch it.
Okay, fine.
It's a fucking TV dynasty.
Quality programming.
It's epic and it's over.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah.
2 episodes left. I can't even believe it.
I know. It's the end.
It can't be the last time we see them because who cares about everybody else?
I honestly, yes. Like, that's how I feel. I'm like, Joan, Peggy, and Peter. And like, Don, obviously. But I'm like, those are the ones that I'm like, no. Like, we need to go out with a bang with those guys.
I wonder if they'll do some sort of like 5 years in the future.
Ooh, probably not.
No.
Because everybody would want it. And it's kind of formulaic, but it would be fucking great. Yeah. If they did like,
even 3 years or 1 year.
Or just like what else happens
months.
In their lives. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Joan goes on to like create a Mary Kay cosmetic similar company and like fucking becomes a millionaire. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't know. Anyway.
She liked bossing everybody around. She didn't necessarily like being like an account person. At the end of the day, she didn't really like it.
I think she, I don't know. I kind of disagree with that. I think that she enjoyed the accounts that she brought in. She liked having more power. Like even when she was an office manager, like she was kind of the head bitch.
Oh yeah. But that's the thing. I think to a certain degree, when she started having accounts, she had less power.
Yeah.
And she was like the...
Except for like Avon or something like that where she knew what the fuck she was talking about.
Did you watch the most recent episode? Or did you just read about it?
No.
That fucking asshole guy that gave her the hard time that kind of started that whole catalyst of her choices in that episode. I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
You shoot that guy. Wait, fucking I hate McCann. That guy more. Wait, I have to hate that guy more than... How'd that happen?
I just don't like McCann. That whole agency. I'm just like, fuck. You guys fucked yourselves by going to McCann.
Yeah.
Well, what'd you do?
They had no choice.
They did.
They were fucked on a million different levels.
Fucking choices.
Well, yeah, they did, but...
Anyway. I don't know.
We'll just end on Mad Men anger. That sounds good.
I'm trying to think of what else. Oh, I finally caught up on Southern Charm. There's not much to talk about it, but it was delightful. I have to say, like, the past couple episodes have been delightful.
What's the status on Thomas and Catherine?
So there is a founding father's ball in Charleston, and Thomas decided to go without Catherine and, like, basically stood up Catherine.
Did she fucking rage?
I think, see, this was the episode that I didn't see. I saw the previews of it, or the recaps of it. She eventually showed up, and he still, like, acted like a dick. See, the thing that he doesn't get about Catherine is that Catherine comes from one of the oldest families in Charleston. Like, she has a very impressive lineage, and like Patricia would say, like, she's very good breeding. She is probably his biggest asset, and he treats her like dirt. Like, if he actually, like, I don't, it's just one of those things when, like, you see somebody hurtling towards their self-destruction and you're like, you have this amazing person who is behind you and loves you unconditionally and, like, wants to support you. And she could be a huge asset to, like, the society that you need in order to, like, become a successful, like, to run a successful campaign. And you leave her at home in her beautiful white dress. What the fuck?
He's a that actually in some weird way sounds like a weird producer's move.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's so extreme.
Yeah.
It probably isn't, but sometimes I'm like, that's a little excessive. That seems like, you know, a writer / producer pushing you into a decision.
And I need to watch it because I don't know if, like, he went to, like, meet a bunch of people and then he was going to go get her.
Or maybe he was like, meet me there.
No, it looked like he was like, I'm just going to go. I don't know.
Whatever. She needs to take her a good looking baby.
There. She's getting there. She, like, in this last episode, she was like, I think I'm just gonna, she's like, things are getting worse. And she's like, I think I'm just gonna do what I need to do for me. And so, yeah. And she looks great. Like, she looks like she did when she first met Thomas. Like, she looks amazing. And she has these, like, really good bangs now, like mod bangs. Like, they're really cute.
Nice. Yeah, she'll do fine without them. Yeah,
I know. See, and that's the thing that, like, everybody around them, like, even Shep and Craig are just like, Craig was like, I miss the fun Whitney. Like, the fun Whitney before she met Thomas. Like, she was a party girl or whatever. But, like, she's beautiful. Like, she's beautiful. There's tons of guys in Charleston that would, like, die to be with her.
And take care of her child.
Whatever.
And honestly, he barely...
Thomas Ravenow.
He's, like, absolutely uninterested in his child for the most part, too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, fuck him. He's the worst.
He's the worst. You're the worst. Craig got fired.
Oh, that was...
He told everybody that he was parting ways with the law firm, but he got fired. So, they kind of had an intervention with him, and it's going to straighten up. I don't know.
Is he going to just take the time to study for the bar?
You know, I think he's one of those people that, like... He's at a point in his life where he's self-sabotaging himself. Because they went, like, Whitney and Shep went back to his house in Delaware. And Whitney even said, he's like, I've never been in a room that had so many accolades for one person. And I think, like, Craig is one of those people that, this is going to sound conceited, but Craig and I are similar in that we could probably and have done, like, skipped every single class for, like, 3 months, take the final and still get an A. So I think he's, like, leaning on that to kind of, like, get him through the bar, even though he doesn't realize that you really can't do that with the bar.
Yeah.
But I also think there's something going on with him where, like, he's got everything, like, that he needs to succeed, but he's, like, deliberately self-sabotaging himself.
I think to a certain degree with people like him, if he has all those accolades, maybe he was pushed super, super hard.
Yeah, maybe he's tired and he wants a fucking break.
And it's just like, fuck.
Yeah. He's like me when I dropped out of college. And I'm like, I've worked hard for the past, like, I don't know how many years. And like the thought of spending another 3 years in a classroom learning about shit that really isn't going to help me get where I want to be. Like, yeah. And he has said too, he's like, I want to party. I want to do all this stuff. Like, I just want to have fun. But I think there's a, I can understand being friends with two guys like Shep and Whitney. And they brought this up in a way that I was like, ooh, that kind of stings. Where like Shep and Whitney have trust funds. They like Shep is very open about the fact that he has a family that helps him or that like can support him and stuff like that. And like Craig doesn't have that. So he has to work. And so I think like they kind of confronted him the fact that like he's trying to act like he has a trust fund. He's trying to live his life like that. But like it doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
So which that's kind of that would be fucking tough. Like it'd be so hard to watch like all my friends like, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I mean. That's why I, you know, just hang out with people that aren't as good as me.
Yeah. That's why I like to hang out with broke underachievers.
That's why you... Thanks. I am an underachiever and it's the best. No pressure. That was sad. Let's go. Let's go drink.
Let's go drunk. Let's go mingle. Yeah. No, I'm... Things are good. Yeah.
Good.
On podcast.
It was fun.
Having lots of fun.
Yeah. Oh, God. Tomorrow's our... It's going to... We're actually recording this the day before it's going to come out.
Yeah. Tomorrow this podcast comes out. Yeah. You guys are going to listen to us.
What do we need to do to help you get it ready to go out tomorrow?
Not much. I'm going to put together my show notes. I'm going to compile this and then I'm going to send it to our amazing producer, Kyle, who's fucking awesome.
He's the best.
He's the best. I'm late on our podcast like all the time and he doesn't get mad at me. So I'm really happy about that.
Actually, it's probably easier for him to do it later in the day than, I don't fucking know.
Yeah, I know. I try to tell myself that too. And then I'm like, no, he's probably like, God damn it, Amber.
Yeah, seriously.
So, yeah. All right. So we're at time. So we should probably get going. We're going to go out to Grumpy's and, like, drink wine and meet guys and stuff.
I might have beers. I might actually also poop my pants. I don't feel very good.
That'd be a great look. All right. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in.
Thanks, Dom.
You're fabulous.
You are awesome. Boop. Thanks for listening to this episode of Pizza Rainbow. For this and other great podcasts, you can check us out at mathishard.net or on iTunes, where you can subscribe, rate, and review us.
For more of Jen Paulson, you can follow her on Twitter at TigerBeatPoet. You can also follow me on Twitter at Amber_L Carter or check out my website at AmberCarter.com. You can also check out Jen's Instagram at Jenju Paulson. It's real, real good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.